G'day there, Cygnets and Swanlings. This is Noddy from A Bevy of Bloods. Just having a bit of an update here on the list trade and draft chat that's ongoing. Just want to first out say I know there's a lot of really good chat going out there on the socials from a lot of fans, and in particular shout out to Baylor Wolf, who's very active and I feel is really across it this period. As he usually is, so well done, mate. What I want to add here is the list management perspective. So everything I say, you guys already know, but I will cover it some of the topics anyway. But I'm going to hopefully add to what is already known from list management in terms of ins and outs and roughly budget, but. As we all know, you know, most Swans fans are on the outside of the club, so a lot of this is educated guesses at best. So here I go. Anyway, so obviously throughout 2023, Sheldrick, Rampy, Amati, McLean and Melican all extended, which was fantastic news for those players. And so once we found out the retirements of Paddy, Buddy and Hickey, we're left with the following uncontracted players, and this is in alphabetical order. So I'll include Paddy, Buddy and Hickey technically because they're uncontracted, but they've already announced retirement. So beyond that is Clark, Gould, Hall, Cahan, Magor, Owen, Rankin, Reed, Sheather, Stevens and Wicks. So first of all, we've got to figure out who from this list is staying. I know some people have put their thoughts out there, but I think we're sort of caught up in the hype of, and the excitement, quite frankly, of all these names that have been linked to us, some obviously more realistic than others. But first and foremost, we've got to figure out who from this list is staying. And I know everyone's going to have an opinion on this, and there's a couple of ways to look at it. One is a hard line stance. If we're chasing established players, if we've got the young core already, then we have to make a few tough decisions and let a few promising youngsters go. The other one is, as the trade period plays out and things don't go our way, maybe, you know, we end up keeping some of these role players. So it's tricky to say in advance, but as at today, this is my personal opinion. Feel free to disagree, but this is just my personal opinion. So I'll start with Clark. So I'm honestly 50-50 on him. He's someone that if there's any trade value there at all, then would look to trade. But otherwise, I think it might be time for Ryan to delist Ryan Clark. I know he is a very good role player, but I think what we're looking at, which is on the precipice of a true flag window, is I think we've got to make way for players that are going to contribute more, and then obviously make room for some youngsters coming through. So tough cut there, but yeah, Clark from the top D-list is my call. Next one is Gould, obviously, you know, a bit of a cult or fan favorite early days, obviously taken in the second round, really high expectations. You know, third tall defender, but you know, had most recently in the VFL this year been swung forward and to pretty good success, I'd say. Like he's got a very good kick, obviously, and his kick goals, but I just think it might be time to delist Gould. So I'm gonna say delist there. Hall Cahan, the hyphen, he's one that I think is worth persevering for another year. I think you know, that he can score goals and multiples of goals, and has done that fairly consistently throughout the VFL this year and last. Tells me that you know, he's someone that we should probably hang on to in that sort of Will Haywood type mold, that sort of third tall forward with a bit of X factor. So he's extend for me. Magor, Owen and Rankin, I will say D-list, but I will say Magor, you know, obviously Magor and Owen were taken in the rookie draft. I think both Magor and Owen have shown really good signs throughout, and more so Magor since he was switched from the forward line to the back line. He's looking quite handy off the half back there. And Owen as well, a developing ruck from Tasmania, but played mostly key forward with chop out in the ruck. He's someone that I think, you know, optimistically might end up playing for the Tassie team one day. They're both really good players, but I just think, unfortunately, with the approach that we've got to take this trade period, these are some of these unfortunate delistings. Rankin is another one for me with Clark where I'm 50-50 in that. He has no trade value, but is he a player that we could persist with and find a role for going forward? But unfortunately, as I'm taking the hardline stance, he's one of these ones that I think we just need to fall into the D-list category. Reed, someone tell me what the hell's going on with Sam Reed. Honestly, I think in the last couple of days, and I'll get onto this when we go through the options, if we are getting an unrestricted free agent looking to come in who is a key defender and has that depth, and it's possible that Reed gets squeezed out. It's also possible that, when we look at salary cap, what's probably somewhere between 500,000 to 600,000 a year either needs to be dramatically reduced or completely removed to be able to fit some of these other players that we're going to be talking about. So, that notwithstanding, I've just kept Reed in. I've kept him in because I think, we've got to wait and see how the Hamling situation plays out. But yeah, obviously Melican extending off the back of Mackay pulling out. This is after Himmelberg and Barras not coming through. Melican extends for 1 year, and then they're looking for more depth. I think that's where Hamling has come into the equation, but Reed has obviously been spoken about previously as being able to play that role, if his body's right. So I've just got him extend at the moment. Mark Sheather, the academy product from the Central Coast, unfortunate. I think might be time to delist, although I was hopeful that he could play a role, but he got injured this year, so that might be one of those unfortunate things that happens, and I've got him as D list, unfortunately. Dill Stevens obviously has come out and nominated North Melbourne of all places, so he is in the trade category, so I'll come to him later. And then lastly is Sam Wicks, and he is just a without thinking extend for me. Local Sydney boy, obviously huge pressure act, small forward, can kick goals. So I'm not quite sure what's happening with him, to be honest. It does make me worry a little bit, but hopefully they're just fleshing out the details and it's, maybe he gets what he wants, which is maybe 3 years at a certain amount. But anyway, so that's the list of players that are uncontracted, and that's my take on them. So as we work through that, we obviously have to then look at what our needs are. And as is well documented, as we all know, we could tidy up our clearance work, our center clearances, stoppages around the ground. That's where we got really hurt this year and sort of kind of have been hurt there over the past couple of seasons, even though we've been able to pull it together and still be, very successful and get into finals over the past couple of years. So, obviously, key defender was at the top there, as I mentioned. Harry Himmelberg, Tom Barras, Ben Mackay, now all gone. The two former recommitting to the current clubs, and then Mackay moving to Essendon. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would want to go there, but anyway. He's obviously a Melbourne boy and wants to stay local, so can't fault that, I guess. I think that what they were claiming he was after was just way too much money, way too much money. So, and the fact that his body wasn't there and he only played averaged 11 games over 7 seasons or 10 or over 7 seasons, whatever it was, didn't really have the track record. So yeah, I'm kind of glad we didn't pursue that in the end. The other big need obviously is ruck, with Hickey retiring and Pete Latham sort of just settling into his own skin still. I have faith in Lads that he'll come good. He'll be a very, very good, ruck forward and maybe even a key ruck beyond in the next 3 to 4 years. But obviously with, the talk of Grundy as gettable, I instantly thought, this is something you have to look at. So obviously that's there. And then the last one is an inside mid, so a clearance specialist, whether that's a big-bodied inside mid or a fleet of foot inside mid, however you want to get the ball out, you know, whatever body shape that comes in, that's fine. But you're really looking for someone to help in that area. And even more so now that Captain Courageous Millsy has had that unfortunate Mad Monday incident, where he'll be at risk. Very, very deliberate wording there, I think, from today's announcement. At risk for the start of the season. That, to me, sounds like he probably won't play for a good chunk of the first half of the year. So, but you never know. Fingers crossed. But anyway, so these are the identified needs. And as we touched on, so key defender in the depth, we've got Melican and Reed, if he's extended. Hamling, who's an unrestricted free agent at 30, a Western Australian born, with his own injury problems. So it was a bit of a question mark for me with Hamling. I've seen some vision. He looks good enough, and I know he held Buddy pretty honest in the 2016 grand final. So not a bad idea because you get him as a free shot, but yeah, just sort of subject to Reed, I think. Grundy, as we've touched on, the big question, the big talking point here is, you know, the Pies trying to wriggle their way out of the agreement they have with him. I can't see it happening. I'm not an AFL contract specialist. I don't think many people are. I think many people are just sort of going off the word of the pundits. But you would have to think logically that, you know, if there's 4 years to run on that contract and an agreement was made, it'd be difficult to get out of that unless there was something, some specific wording, some subject, some conditions to that agreement, you know, that maybe the Swans were not aware of. But perhaps they're thinking that even if they have to pay Grundy $1 million, they would wear that to improve our clearance work. So maybe that's where we're at. But anyway, let's move along. Inside mid, the names that we're looking at, Jordan, Dow, and most recently, or Harms, Wines is sort of making the rounds, and most recently, Clayton Oliver. I will also add Riley Bonner and Jackson Hatley as unrestricted or delisted free agents, rather. Although both unrestricted free agents because they were delisted previously, but they would be free shots in the vein of Hamling. And I think these types of players, Bonner especially, who's almost got 100 games, and Hatley, who's not really shown his potential, but I think these guys would be excellent depth players. But I haven't heard anything about that. That's just a personal preference of mine. I don't think they'll come to fruition. Anyway, so how does it all get done? I'm not really going to go into the hairy details in terms of the numbers, although I have looked at it because it's fun, and I too, like a lot of Swans fans, love this time of the year. Obviously, it's better if you win a grand final and then have this period, but you know, we lost, but now we've got next year to look forward to, and a big part of that is the you know, the trade and draft period. So here we are. So how does it get it done? How do we get it done? Obviously, the first one we have to look at is Dill Stevens, who's nominated North. You know, North have got a lot of first round picks, and they will, you know, they've got two, probably three for Ben McKay, 14 and 19. 19 is the recent assistance package. None in second round. They got 40 and 52 in third, 60 in fourth, and pick 77 in round five. So probably it's somewhere in the third round, unless we ask them to trade in a second round or give us the equivalent. I mean, like picks 40 and 52 actually are the equivalent of pick 28. So I don't know if we can work with them on that front. Obviously, we don't want to push too hard because we don't want to see, you know, what happened with Dawson happen to Dill Stevens, where they get him effectively for free. So we'll just work with them. But obviously 19 would be fantastic because then we could, you know, probably have a crack at the higher pick, or maybe we could use that to go for Clary Oliver. But anyway, so if we get, let's just say we get picks 40 and or 52 for Dill, that leaves us with pick 11 in round one, picks 23 and 31 in round two, picks 40, 42, 50 and 52 in round three, so adding those two from North Melbourne, and then nothing in round four. That was the one that we gave to Essendon for Aaron Francis, and then pick 86 in round five, which is effectively nothing. So you know, we've got, that's how we stand. You know, there's talk of maybe going for Gold Coast pick four. This was before the Clayton or Oliver news, but yeah, I can't. There are other clubs who are probably better positioned to make an offer on that. We're probably just a couple of spots behind in our first pick. So pick 11 is probably going to be pushed back to, you know, maybe 13 or 14 after all the father, son and academy bids that are pending. So if we look at the list, And if we follow the structure that has been in place post-COVID, where you've got a certain amount of players on the primary list, a certain amount of players in the rookie list and that in Category A, and a certain amount of players on the rookie B list, Category B, with a total of 47. So if you have 38 on the primary, you can have 6 in rookie A, 3 in rookie B. If you have 39, then you can have 5 and 3. If you have 40, you can have 4 and 3. So last year we had 37 in the primary list, 7 because Paddy McCartan was put on the injury list and then Jack Buller came in technically, and then only 2 in Category B, which is our academy. So that was Edwards and Sheather. So if we look at the players that are out that I've already said, you know, delist from the primary list, that is Dill Stevens, Ryan Clark, Will Gould, Lance Franklin, Tom Hickey, Jaden Magor, Lance Rankin, Paddy McCartan, Cameron Owen, Hugo Hall, Kahan. Sorry, those last three guys are in Rookie A. So Rookie A is Paddy McCartan, Cameron Owen, and Hugo Hall, Kahan. And then Rookie B is Mark Sheather. So if we have Wicks and Reed stay, that is only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spots open in the primary list. And whether or not we elevate Robbie Fox from Rookie A to the primary list, or and then we also elevate Will Edwards from Rookie A into the primary list. These are sort of machinations that need to be decided by the club, but these are the sort of things you do need to look at when you're approaching this period. But so if we have that amount of players out, then with the players we're looking at, if we can get Grundy, who again, if we can just give pick 31, that should get that done, hopefully, and the Pies still pay 250 or so. So Grundy comes into the primary list. James Jordan may or may not come into the primary list. He might go onto Rookie A, but probably into the primary list. And Paddy Dow would come into the primary list. And then that would leave 3 spots for the required 3 players that we're obliged to take in the national draft. Now, obviously, we're looking at, probably Caden Cleary matching a bit on him whenever it comes in round 2 or round 3. I wouldn't be surprised if our enemies have a crack at us and force us to use all our points early. But other than him, there are a few academy boys, but we're hoping that they get overlooked in the national draft, and then we can automatically add 2 or 3 to that rookie B category. So I'm looking at the likes of Max Ryder, Lockie Caber, and Caleb May. So these are all sort of Ryan Clark, Rankin and or Magor and Owen replacements in terms of position. And then there's also 2 spots in the Rookie A category. So this is probably where your Hamlings or your Bonner, as I mentioned, or Haitley, or maybe even Jordan fit into the picture. So in terms of list spots, actual availabilities, if we follow a similar structure as last year and we fit in with the guidelines, there aren't too many. We can't take everyone. And the other big, factor is the budget, the salary cap. So we've got Errol Goulden, who almost probably should have won the Brownlow, who's out of contract next year. And you'd imagine that we're gonna lock him away for as long as Nick Blakey, maybe even longer. And so we're gonna need some coin for that as well. So that's, and Logan McDonald as well is out of contract next year. So these are big players that need to be short away, and I don't want to give away Logan McDonald. I know there's a couple of schools of thought out there on this one. Give him away to get Oliver in. I don't think that's a good idea, but that's just my personal opinion and preference. So I think based on all that, and this is a little bit back and forth, so apologies for the sort of flowing thoughts that are coming from my mouth at the moment. But I think if we do everything we can to get Grundy, he comes in, and then we work to get Jordan and Dow, who I think will fill a need, and then we take best available at 11 in the draft, and hopefully that's a key defensive player in the likes of O'Sullivan or Murphy. and then match a bit on Caden Cleary wherever it comes. If it doesn't come on our second pick, then we take best available player at that point, and then take him at third. And then, as I said, we take Ryder, Cable, May in pre-selection if they don't get bid on. And then, yeah, I think that's a pretty good list. You know, I don't think we really need Wines. I don't think we need Oliver. But I will finish this because I've hit 20 minutes. I will finish this and say this time of year is extremely fluid. So my position today could very easily change tomorrow as we have more information to hand. So the other big thing is, obviously, I'm not inside the club. I don't know what they're thinking and feeling, but this is just a, you know, a bit of an educated guess or a bit of a passionate stab in the dark. So anyway, that's my take on it as at today. Everyone keep up the good work. Let's keep sharing info. I love this. You know, I know there's a lot of fans out there who think all this should be left up to the club, but this is an exciting time of the year for me, and I really get into it. So, yep, up the Bloods, and can you Swannies?